Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
You think the best team is what?
I think the best team right now is LA Chargers.
Can we stop getting slapped down every time you call them San Diego? Like, I'm at NBC, and they got this cute little bucket.
I'm with Lou.
You're supposed to, like, put it in a bucket.
It took our idea.
You call them the San Diego Chargers, and everyone's like, you stupid idiot.
Hashtag idiot.
What are you, stupid?
You are dumb.
I mean, he's stupid. He's a baseball player.
Right? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. Thanks for your knowledge.
San Diego. The top five quarterbacks according to WAR. Number five. Give it to me. Tom Brady.
I'm not sure what we're going with this.
I don't want to hear Max talking about some Cliff.
You don't want to hear about Cliff.
Kingsbury here. It's time to rise up.
Yes. Yes. We got it, baby.
Right now.
Chuck, good morning to you.
I'm like Neo. Like, we can see it. We can see straight.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I swear to God, Thursday is the absolute worst day of a playoff week. It's the worst day because you've talked a lot in the first 3 days about what you're expecting. And you get to Thursday, you're sitting there going, no, kick the ball. Let's go. Let's play some football. And we're going to sit here today and we're going to do a lot of the same thing. But I will say this. As the week progresses on, I get the feeling, you tell me, because I was out there talking to my people today.
Hold on. You were
bonding,
working on
bonding
your
with people.
Were you on the streets?
Huh?
Just streets. Walking down streets. Boston?
Wait, so yeah. You were on the, you were hanging out with your
working
people
the
like in the building, like in the little kitchen we have, or like actually
stop by
boots
for a little,
on the ground,
stop by for
reconnaissance.
No, stop by for a little cup of coffee, you know, chat
Migo,
a little bit.
How about the pets?
Exactly.
Everything I've read in the Sacramento Bee, and that's where I'm getting most of this information.
Haven't read the Bee lately. There's been nothing to report out of Sacramento. Nothing yet.
The NBA trade deadline.
But I get the feeling the deeper we go into the week, then we're gonna ask Lou what his prediction was, and we'll give our predictions today. Screw it, we're not waiting until tomorrow. Mm. You can always change your mind for you tomorrow, Saturday or Sunday.
No, it'll be Sunday. I'll have two different
sure you
decisions.
Will. But the deeper we go into the week, I'm getting the feeling that the New England Patriot fans are getting more scared.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Based on what?
Oh, I think they're
because I don't hear anybody.
You don't hear any of this?
Well, I don't hear anybody just picking against them, like talking about the sky is falling, or maybe it's been because it's been a week. I don't feel it, I guess, locally. But
nationally, everybody wants them to lose, and that's a different story. Brady's the sixth quarter, whatever, okay. Everybody's doing that, but I think locally, you don't feel it. You don't sense it. Lou, you hit the coffee shops in Marshfield today, I'm sure.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, this
worry.
Is a divisional round. This is not a tomato can. I mean, when Shaughnessy writes he's not a tomato can, then it sends shockwaves amongst Patriots fans. Say, holy smokes, Shaughnessy's not predicted an easy W. This must be a difficult game.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, the reality is most Patriot fans know football, and they know that this team had a better season than you did. They had a better record than you did.
And they may have better personnel than you
did. They may have better personnel than you did.
Right.
They also know on the flip side that this Patriots team that they have been watching now that has gone to, two of the last three Super Bowls or three of the last four, whatever you want to call it, doesn't look right. It doesn't look the same. So, yeah. I mean, people can go out there and convince themselves. I guarantee. I mean, they'll be, you know, the first five callers will be like, nah, Pats are going to win, dude. Trust me. It's absolute blowout. It's just going on history and what the Patriots have always done. I think Patriot fans know that this is a little bit different.
They know it's a little bit different, but they're just blinded. They're just so caught up and been conditioned that
I'm not hearing that.
I would say I look at it.
Normally you
I
hear that.
From,
I'm not.
I've been working on my craft also.
I've been
working the phones.
I know
I've been, you know, calling up.
I saw you.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, right? I did.
Okay.
In the other room, you were texting somebody.
I would say the...
what was that porn site again?
Guess. No, it's not a porn site. No, I only do that on Lou's computer.
Okay. Oh, you really committed
to your craft.
The
crazy thing is, like, the Chargers, with everything that's been going on with them as a team, they have just the best story going. Like, it's no coincidence that they're stuck in L.A. They're playing the disrespect card. Nobody wants them. And yet I can just see them just in the locker room just laughing about it. Because here's a Chargers 2018 narrative. The team nobody wants.
Yeah.
Can't you see, like, you've been in locker rooms before, you hear what Sean Payton's doing for his team, trying to get them going, right? That motivational speech that just, you know, trying to get guys going, bulletin board material. It's not coming from the Patriots, but it's coming from everybody else. It's coming locally in L.A. County, Orange County, San Diego County. Just how the Rams and the Cowboys, like, that's the place to be. Like, if both these games were being played at home in L.A., so the Chargers were playing in Carson City against the Patriots, and the Rams were playing at home in the Coliseum against the Cowboys, which they are, both games were playing, like the same day, no one would care about the Chargers. It would not lead the stories at night.
Right.
No one would talk about it on the radio. They would focus most of their attention right there with the Rams and the Chargers. So I would just purely because of that, and I know what type of, you know, how motivation works and how teams just get angry and they get pissed off and they don't feel like they're getting any respect. Like, that's the team to worry about. Out of all the years I've been covering this team, playing with this team, I've never seen one team have more motivation to prove people wrong and show that they belong and they deserve to be there than the L.A. Chargers. I mean, it's just chock full of motivational speeches and influences.
The quarterback still lives in San Diego.
He has a...
He commutes.
He has a driver.
2 hours.
And he's got this large SUV with, like, big couches on there and big, big recliners.
How long
and big
is that?
Screen
hour
TV.
45?
See, there are times in traffic...
And it could be 2.5,
he says
3?
It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
In traffic,
yeah.
Some days.
In the morning, he probably doesn't see any because he leaves so early. But at night, he'll be in there a good 3 hours.
Yeah.
But he's prepping. He's working. It's all this type of stuff. I mean, I think that's smart.
Dude, if you get 9 kids... You don't care about the commute.
Yeah, you're like,
that's your quiet time.
There's a sick alert over on the 9. Oh, I don't think I'm going to be back in time, honey. Probably just go ahead and put the 9 kids to bed.
So I don't hear the great confidence, other than Wiggy. Wiggy obviously has tremendous confidence in the team. And, you know, all the things we just outlined about this team maybe having better personnel, maybe being a better team. They certainly had a better win-loss percentage. And you were talking about, you know, what they are, what they're made of. Here's the thing they have going up against them, though. So a little tiny little loss with a tiebreaker took them out of a position where they could actually be playing at home. Instead, they're playing on the road. So they have to play last week on the road in a wild card game. And what do they get of all teams? They get the Ravens. Now, granted, they did a terrific job and they beat them. But they also got physically beaten up by the Ravens. All right? So that's a plus for New England. A negative for the Chargers. On top of that, Gordon is hurt. Apparently, he's wearing braces now on both knees. Mm. They need Gordon in this game if they're going to win. The Patriots, meanwhile, were sitting around for 2 weeks, mending all their wounds, giving them an opportunity to correct their own little mistakes, which they have mistakes they've got to correct. So then on top of that, the Chargers have to go back-to-back-to-back-to-back, West Coast to East Coast and back and forth. Are you kidding me? That is that's tough for them.
See, I asked Teddy that question, and I don't know if he didn't understand where I was going or
didn't
want to answer.
I'm just sure he understood it.
Boom.
But I do think that, you know, when you look at, because it's more about, when you talk about this game, it seems like the outside factors rather than the talent on the field really are playing more of a role, right? The 10 o'clock travel back and forth, East Coast, the cold weather. And then playing Baltimore last week.
Yeah.
And I actually think of all three, I think playing Baltimore last week will have more of an impact. Like we talked about before, the travel, man, it's the postseason. It isn't week 7. It isn't week 8. This is the playoffs. You know, you got extra juice.
Yeah, you find a way of dealing with it.
Yeah, and the cold, all right, there's not going to be any snow on the ground. It's going to be cold. That
Real
could
cold.
Be a factor. But playing the Ravens the week before.
Yeah.
You know, you just mentioned it. Melvin Gordon, to me, you know, the two running backs, to me, are the key of this whole game.
I agree.
Forget about the quarterbacks that are probably both Rivers Hall of Famer, right? So both guys are Hall of Famers. Defenses, you can talk all you want about pressuring quarterbacks. But Sony Michel, can he get off? Because he's got to get off. And then Melvin Gordon, what the hell is he? I mean, you got two bad knees, you got two braces, hasn't run the ball effectively. But a little caveat to that is, he hasn't run the ball effectively since he's been back. But three of those games, two against Baltimore, one against Denver. Was it those defenses or was it Melvin Gordon? We'll find out on Sunday, and hopefully it's Melvin Gordon. Well, the two running backs, to me, is the whole game. Those two guys, not James White,
as
we talk about dumping up the passes to him. It's Sony Michel getting his or Melvin Gordon. Is he right?
And you may have an overdose of Ekeler in this game as opposed to Gordon, and that changes everything, I think, when you have the two of them back and forth. But you're right. The Chargers have, like, everything going against them. You look at this list. I mean, the Patriots are sitting home all of this time. They didn't have to play anybody. They're sitting in hot tubs. They're not getting the crap beaten out of them.
They also have they have that one little chip on their shoulder that the Patriots drew so much inspiration from for so many years. The Roger Goodell factor.
Nobody believes it.
No, it's the Roger Goodell factor. Roger Goodell doesn't want us there. Roger Goodell is trying to sabotage
they're
us.
They're using that too,
like,
which
they're
is
acting
good.
Like the refs are calling penalties on them on purpose in that Ravens game. So the Ravens have a better opportunity to win. Like Russell Okung, he has a holding call And if there wasn't that holding call, that game was basically over, right? The clock and the timeouts, it wouldn't have mattered. But they call him for holding, which was – it was a hold, by the way.
We're a game of rules.
And so they're every single chip you can think of. Honestly, I'm not – you don't have to make it up. Every single one they have. And I'll even throw this in there, and I brought it up yesterday, Mebane. You know, the fact that his daughter passed away and he's back, it's just – you – listen, you – I don't think – Anthony Lynn needs to say anything. I don't think he needs to say a word.
Players might.
Internal. I think he sits there. If he's reading the room, all he has to say is he'll look to his assistant coaches who were both head coaches at one point in time. Talk about a strong staff. Just look and say, listen, hey, you don't need to say anything. They're self-motivating this week. They're angry on their own. You don't need to say, and just open the door, coach. Just open the door and say, go get them.
Yeah, see, I think Brandon Mebane may be more important to them from what you said yesterday. I thought it was a good point.
And that inspiration?
Is from an inspiration and emotional point.
And because, the player.
But he's been gone for like 6 or 7 weeks, Lou. Mm-hmm. He's a big dude. He's like 6'1 at about 315. You think, and I've been through this before, okay, with a newborn.
Oh, yeah, about being heavy set and taking some time off of working out.
You talking about me?
Is that you're trying, what you're to, compare
you're
to, trying
me?
To compare him
no.
to him?
No, I was trying to compare.
He knows what it's like to be heavy set and not work out.
Okay. And then he has back. To work out right. 6 weeks later.
So we have a lot in
yeah. So he can really speak to this.
We have a lot in common. Yeah. We have a lot in common. Okay. But I think if he's away for 6 or 7 weeks, your head is out of it. Christian and I were talking about this before the show. He's been through some of that. I went through it, and your head's not into it. But if they can get him for an inspirational purposes, and they're working him in there, maybe 30% of the plays or something like that, 40% of the plays, defensive plays, maybe they get something out of him. I just don't think he's going to be – I totally find it hard to believe he's going to be that stud to come in and stop that run. And
well, I would tell you, like, you brought this up, and I didn't even think about it. I was just thinking purely just, okay, here's another chip for them to throw in the big bucket of motivation that they're going to draw from for the next week and on Sunday, is that I think he'll be completely out of shape.
Yeah, I do, too.
I don't think he'll be in shape at all, so – the word is that his daughter passed last week.
On Thursday.
January 3rd.
So she was born premature, and there were heart problems. And they were waiting to get her back to health to actually do the surgery. She passed away last Thursday. But think about this. He went through a 7-week period. She lived 7 weeks. And every day he's in the hospital, he's away from the team. He's holding the baby. There's an attachment there. And then suddenly, boom. It's gone.
No, I'm with you.
I think it's difficult.
It is an emotional, motivated player.
Yep.
And well, when I start talking about Sony Michel being a key, and we all know what the pass edge rushers can do, you bring a very good nose tackle into the equation to help stop the run, which, and as you know, limited snaps. Okay. Well, Sony Michel's on the field. What's he going to do? He's going to run. All right, you watch Sony Michel. So when Michelle's out there, great. If he's not, fine. What's he going to be out there? Michelle goes out there for what, 40% of the snaps? 45%
something
of the snaps?
Like that,
something like that, right? Like Ian James White, kind of. He's always in that category. You follow Sony Michel. He's in the game, you're in the game. He's out of the game, you're out of the game.
Yeah, well, I think that's advantage Patriots because I do not, when Ordway brought it up, I was like, think about it. Do you think he's on the treadmill, working out?
I think
if you're out.
I don't think he is.
If you're disconnected for 2 weeks without any cardio whatsoever, forget about just weight training. Just get on the treadmill, get on the bike, flush your system out, whatever. And then you go out there, he's first down guy only. And then what if I was the Patriots, and you hate to take advantage of a situation like this, but it is what it is. You keep him on the field. You don't let him get off the field.
Up tempo.
And when he does, but you keep him on the field out of your regular personnel, I'm sure they're thinking about it. And the moment he sits there and he's sucking wind and tries to get off the field, you fast tempo, you snap the ball, you get a free play.
Yeah.
All these little tricks, all these little catch-you-by-surprise type of plays that we've seen in the past and past postseason and regular season, all those are on the table.
But that's how the Patriots win games. We've seen that. And I'm not sure that changes. You talked about it. It's different this year, Lou. And I agree. It is somewhat different than some of the great teams who have seen in the past. I just think that coaching is so big when you get into the postseason, and I think they're going to come up with a lot of these little gimmicks. I think you're going to see a couple of those gimmick plays. Matter of fact, lock this one in right now.
Uh-oh.
Cordero Patterson will be involved in one of them because that's what
flicker.
They're going to do.
Right?
That's what they do with him. That's what he's here for. For those plays.
It's funny because as the week goes on, I don't know, just like a small little under-the-radar move by your L.A. Chargers. Did you see that they signed another kicker?
For kicking off only.
So they signed this kid, Nick Rose.
Right.
And who, like, last today. Year. Last, yeah, today. Who Ooh, last year. Exactly. Nick. Just for kickoffs. Because the kid Bagley, contrary. Remember that one guy we had call in and say, like, Bagley sucks? Yeah. Kicker sucks?
Right.
Meanwhile, he had 15 of 16 this year. Like, he's pretty much money. Missed one 50-yarder. But he's, like, the worst as far as touchbacks go in the NFL. Lowest percentage of any kicker in touchbacks.
So they're worried about that.
This kid, Rose, was 8 of 9 last year when they signed him at the end of the year. So he sucks. He can't kick it. He can't kick it straight. He don't really kick it where he wants, but he can kick the hell out of it. So they just signed a place kicker midweek.
For Patterson.
To get touchbacks.
Yeah.
To not let Patterson return the football because it's one of their weaknesses.
Yeah.
Is kick returns. They're one of the worst in the league. Because Bagley's kicking the ball at the 5-yard line. They're bringing it out to about the 30-35 against them all the time.
Yeah, I saw you tweet it out, and I'm looking it up. And I'm trying to,
nice
I do the same thing.
We're
I looked up
about our idiot kicker.
I said, who the hell is this kid, and what the hell are they doing? I thought maybe the other kid was hurt or something like that, but I agree with Lou. I think that's exactly what it's about. They do
oh,
not want to give.
They've already,
do, yeah.
Yeah,
they don't want to give him good field position. They're afraid of Patterson, and so they're going to make the Patriots start Tom Brady. Starting the 25-yard line, but they're giving up another spot on that roster. So I would look at the tight end spot and Stephen A. Keep looking at the transactions. Matter of fact, wait till you see who's active on Sunday. Are we sure that that Henry is going to be active?
Really?
In that game on Sunday? When's the last time he's played a football game? Didn't he get injured
last
spring. In
spring
he camp
did.
In
so
May?
He has not played in a game.
He has not played in a game. Since the previous season, which would be the 2017 season.
Secret weapon.
You suddenly,
Secret weapon.
You're suddenly going to bring him out there, and he's got to the point where physically he can go out there when everybody else now is 16-plus games into the season. And you're telling me that he's going to be in any way a factor in this game? I find that hard to believe.
I would say, okay, so what does he do? I mean, right now, I mean, Antonio Gates is basically he's a third down guy. Virgil Green is your starter, but they have Hunter Henry listed as a starter right now, which is weird.
Would you be surprised if you found out a Sunday morning that he's inactive?
I think he'll play. No, I think he'll play.
But who are they giving up? They're giving up somebody else on the roster.
There's
only so many roster spots.
Yeah.
So well,
Mee-Bain's
when you get into a playoff
back,
game, these things
Mee-Bain's
are big.
Coming back. You activated another kicker, who just unbelievable. So you
so
may use
two
this guy.
You're adding.
This guy may be on the field for, what, six plays?
You know,
Henry's a third guy you're adding.
Mee-Bain takes the role of, you know, maybe a guy that wasn't even active or dressed or, you know, whatever, the extra nose tackle, the depth guy that maybe didn't even play, right? Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, so there are
I don't think they had one of them. They were using the Damian Square last week. He played that position. I don't think they were rotating him much.
No. But they probably had a guy on the bench in case of injuries. So that guy, you don't need him anymore.
Yeah, but I don't think he was. I'm not sure he was active.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Because they
went
with
sports.
They
really don't. You're
talking about idiot kickers here.
You're taking the last two guys on your roster.
But it goes back.
And you're taking them off.
But it goes back to the point that. They're activating these people. It may mean they're not going to have the linebackers. It may mean they're coming back with the defensive backs.
Let me ask you.
There are only so many
spots. Let's just say like Trey Flowers was injured and he came back. Do you think people in San Diego be like, yeah, I know they're getting Flowers back, but they got to take someone off the roster?
Yeah.
You know, who cares?
Yeah, but this is
good players on. They're taking bad players off.
This guy hasn't played since
I'm just saying.
He got injured in May.
Give him 35-40% of the snaps.
Wow. Boy,
maybe
that's a lot
tops.
For a kid that's been gone that
maybe
long.
Tops.
Long.
Yeah, but we've seen.
Oh, Hunter Henry,
so
you're talking
we,
about?
But,
yeah
but look, Edelman missed four
you're,
games.
You're adding three players onto the roster this week.
But,
that means three guys have to come off.
Well, great. Three good players. Why are you worried about three crappy players coming off the back end?
Because I'm not sure they're three good players. Because Henry hasn't played at all since the 2017 season, and he wasn't practicing with them up until what, last week?
Well, okay. He was practicing, but
so
he wasn't.
Who did the Patriots pick off the roster to get Burkhead on? Do you even know? Exactly.
Well, we could.
It doesn't matter.
Jack Sullivan.
Their better players are going on.
Yeah, it was Jack Sullivan from
yeah. Better
Sullivan
players
family.
Are going on. Worse players.
Sullivan
are going
Brothers.
Ballard.
Sullivan Brothers.
House. No, I think Hunter. I think he'll play. But they need him to play.
Sure.
More importantly, they just. I mean, if anything, none of these other tight ends are first and second down receiving tight ends. Like it's they're not throwing it to their tight ends on first and second down, right? When Gates comes on the field, it's usually a third down situation. Got to have
it's
a situation.
It's always a third down situation.
Goal line situation, maybe. Red zone, I'm sure he's got like a bunch of plays in that category also. But, no, just having him on the field sends a big red flag out to the Patriots. Say, listen, now we can throw the football play action to our tight end. Listen, if you want to believe it or not, okay, take your chances, okay, until we prove you wrong. Or you find out he's not very fast. He's not very, you're not really worried about it. But no, he'll be on that field. He'll be lined up and he will be part of the game plan. That's what I think.
By the way, do you know I actually have the guide that they released in order to put Burkhead back on? Any guesses?
Jack Sullivan.
Oh, of course. No. It would be Matt Tobin.
Exactly.
Yes. That was my second guess.
You know what? Matt Tobin.
The Chargers have a Matt Tobin waiting to be taken off their roster.
They probably do.
Yeah.
They probably do. I just think that the three players that you're adding, I'm not sure you're going to get much use out of them, out of the three players.
Oh, maybe, I can get a lot of me, babe.
I can't wait for the kicker that they signed specifically just to kick the ball out of the end zone. Ends up, it gets really cold. They realize that the ball is hard as a rock and it's not going to travel anywhere. Like the weather that they're having in L.A. right now and the weather and the temperatures and how far the ball goes. Like, wait till they get out here and they realize, like, oh, it's going to drop at the 5, but I've been kicking it out of the end zone in L.A. Well, that's what cold weather does.
It is going to be
called the gas law, if you've heard about it, right? It's a law.
Of course it is.
Not an opinion.
Well, it depends. They don't think that way at the
Universal Gas
Football
law.
League offices. It is going to be very, very cold. The one thing we know now
come on, temperatures give us
are pretty
give us the
consistent.
Report.
Well, they're saying about 15 degrees. It's going to feel like 15. It might be in the low 20s. It's going to feel like it's in the teens. No snow. But that's cold, as you know. And if you're coming from L.A. and you're feeling temperatures, what are they this week in L.A.?
No,
in
it's always 70 degrees. Dude.
Okay.
Come on.
70 degrees. And you suddenly get off that plane and show up here where it's an advantage. And Tom Brady talked about this last week. You practice in it all week long. And the temperatures are dropping. Tomorrow it's going to be a lot colder than it is today. And you start feeling it, and you start to know what you need to wear to go out there. If you're the Chargers and you go out there and you're not ready for this stuff, woo.
You know, we talked about, okay, listen, they played Baltimore. One of the things they should have done, but they just didn't have enough time, was to double up and stay out on the East Coast, practice, and then get used to the weather, get used to this time zone, right, play the Patriots. Usually
they wanted to do that.
I know, but it was expensive, right?
Yes.
And then they have to double up. That's why I said they'd have to double up on, you know, sleeping arrangements. I would leave Thursday. I would practice early Thursday morning. I would get out of Dodge Thursday, right after practice, spend the night Thursday night, wake up, practice here Friday. That's what I would do.
I think I read they were practicing Friday there and then leaving right after practice on Friday.
That's what I was saying. Typically,
get
West
one
Coast
day
teams
to practice.
Practice.
That's a good idea.
Leave on Wednesday, but you show up on Friday night. You have a walkthrough Saturday. Nobody's touching anybody.
Dressed warm, cold.
Yeah, you just kind of, everybody's got their beanies on.
You guys want to play catch and see what it's like?
No, man. Can we just hurry up and get inside?
We'll do that pregame.
Yeah. Probably the weather was part of it as well.
So, that would have been a better move.
I will say this. As much as the cold, I think, will affect them, I don't know
26 degrees, no snow.
Yeah, I don't know how badly that's going, how much that's going to affect them. But I think it will. You can't say that coming into cold weather when you're not accustomed to playing in it is not a culture shock to you.
4 episodes of Thunder Snow.
But they're not one of those teams that's built as an indoor team. Right? They're not built, you know, we just spread them 5 wide and this is what we do. They're not really that type of team.
No, well, Melvin Gordon's right. They're not.
No.
They're not at
right.
all.
Right.
You
not
know,
ever.
When they can get him going, they can utilize him and Eckler, and then they opens it up. They got enough weapons to throw the ball to as well. So they probably can adapt, but everything does kind of evolve around Gordon. Much like, you know, I personally, as much as the high powered offense of the Rams, I feel the same way about them. It's you know, it's all about their guy as well, Gurley. You know, is he healthy? So both of these running backs, I mean, you could downplay the running back position all you want in this league, but most of the high-powered offenses, yeah, the quarterbacks and the weapons, but they all had elite running backs. Now, Kansas City lost Kareem Hunt, you know, and they haven't been exactly sharp since. You know, they're still winning, but they're not exactly sharp since. But that threat of a running back now makes all these weapons in your quarterback that much tougher to defend.
See, I'm surprised. Nobody's talking really about the Rams being challenged in this game.
The Rams?
Yes. Listen,
so
they
Dallas,
have investments.
Right. Dallas.
Oh, wait, that dropped today.
It dropped today, baby.
We'll get into it. Dallas has a really good defense, okay? Jared Goff has been a shell of himself in the latter third of the season.
But he's got Sean McVay.
He's fell off a cliff.
Hold on.
He's a genius.
I already told you.
He's got Sean McVay. That's impossible.
I'm biased in this
he's
one.
He's young, good-looking, and smart.
I want the Rams to lose in the worst way.
I really do.
Because I'm so
How
sick.
How could that be?
I'm so sick of a whole week of, we got to find one of those Sean McVay dolls. We got to find one of them. Get the doll. But where do we find the doll? The Sean McVay. But Lou's right. If Todd Gurley is not right, and he hasn't played in what, 3 weeks, four weeks?
And it's one of those, like, are they holding him out? Are they resting him? Oh, we're resting him. So now he's going to be 100%, or are they resting him because he's not rest? It's actually hurt.
But if he's not right, and then the whole game goes on Jared Goff the way he's been
Anderson,
playing.
Go get him.
Woo!
Good luck.
I don't believe it.
And
you don't
why,
believe what?
And Gordon.
They have
there.
Sean McVay.
Well, Gordon's there, guys.
I'm hoping
they
so
have
badly.
Sean. I just... Guys... I can just imagine. Hey guys, what are we worried about? They're like losing 35-0. It's halftime.
Whoa, guys, we have Sean McVay. If they lose that game, Sean McVay will be more like Marv Lewis than he will be.
No,
Sean
Jared
McVay.
Goff needs to throw like three picks. You know, it just needs to be ugly. And Dak Prescott needs to just light him up like crazy.
Gurley's been out a month. Was it December 16th?
That's the last time he's played.
That's a long time. Mm-hmm. That is a long time. I'm not sure that is, we're just keeping them rested
or whatever.
When
you go for the number one seed, not only the number one seed were they fighting for at the end, they were actually fighting for the bye, the two seed. Chicago was on their ass. And they're resting Todd Gurley? Yeah, I don't buy that.
I don't either. All right, we're going to
But they have Sean McVay.
We're going to get to your phone calls because I'm wondering, I hear everybody worried. Are people really worried? I mean, we're the wall people. We're all the wall people sitting there telling me that the Patriots can do everything and anything. We'll open up the phone lines.
What am I scared of?
At 617-779-7937. By the way, we're giving away another one of those Tom Brady autographed footballs.
We're running out of them,
unbelievable.
Though.
What do you mean we're running out of them?
I think we got two left.
Well, we have
for today.
Two more shows this week. It works perfect.
That's perfect.
Today and tomorrow. And by the way, we have another great episode of Chuck, our medical salesman by night, a talk show stalker by day. The latest episode today, Chuck attacks San Diego, California. We'll do that in the next hour.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Is it special to go to New England against the Hall of Fame coach and arguably the best quarterback ever to play and get another shot at him? Heck yeah. Heck yeah, it is. It is special. And, just like I always told you, you look over and it's Peyton Manning, you know, on the other side. I'm not playing those guys, but I have a great deal of respect, fan of those guys, you know. And so to get an opportunity again to go against them 11 years after we had that opportunity in, you know, the 2007 season, it's awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
It's awesome. Gee golly. He's got a lot of that stuff. Never swears, by the way.
Never swears.
Never says a bad word.
He is so country.
Yeah.
He is so... Ryan, see if you can grab this real quick. There was during the conference call, and this stood out to me because he has the conference call, he was telling this funny story about Bill. Somebody asked him about it, you know, his relationship with Bill.
About the Pro Bowl. Yeah.
Said he was at the Pro Bowl. And it's just so funny. He sounds like a good old boy country bumpkin.
Yeah, a key word is going to stick out to you here.
And I do remember at halftime of the Pro Bowl game, we were getting killed. So me, Peyton, and Castle, we were getting blown out at halftime, and he kind of called us all up and said, hey, we can tackle. Maybe we can, you know, I know it's a Pro Bowl and all that, but can we tackle somebody today? You know, let's go out and see if we can make this a little bit respectful in the second half. And then he looked over at us quarterbacks, and we had all thrown an interception. Thank goodness I wasn't the only one. And he said, it would help if you guys would stop throwing it to the other team. And I got a kick out of that because I understand about Peyton Manning and Castle, and Peyton's, if not my all-time favorite, one of. And I was glad I wasn't the only one that had thrown it to the other team, but I thought that was pretty good. I got fussed at halftime of the Pro Bowl.
You say fussed at?
I got fussed at.
Fussed at or fussed
So you would use a different word, I think.
I got fussed
well,
at.
No, it just...
might begin with an F, but you.
I don't think I've ever heard. Have you ever? When's
no, I've never heard that word.
I got fussed at halftime.
Fussed at.
I've never heard that before.
I'm fussing.
But he does have that different type of language. Listen, I think he's really good quarterback. He's been around a long time. Would you say borderline Hall of Famer?
Because in the end, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Yeah. In the end, yards and he'll years, probably play another
three. But if I were to place a bet with Merlone Investments over here, and I were to place a bet, and the bet would be a prop bet, who's going to screw up on Sunday? Who's going to make – the game's determined by one screw-up in that game. Who's going to make it, Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers? I would bet you anything Phillip Rivers makes that mistake.
You know what? There does always seem to be, at least you know, for the Chargers, like something crazy, right? Yep. So how about this name? Tell me who this is. Marlon McCray. Do you know who Marlon McCray is?
It's a familiar name. Defensive back.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the guy that fumbled.
Troy Brown.
The game, the Patriots were in a terrible position. They were losing that game. What was it? The score was 21-13. Fourth quarter, Brady had already thrown, two interceptions. They go for it on fourth down. He throws his third interception of the day. And that's basically it. Game is over, right? 21-13. Well, Patriots get the ball back. They go down and score. They get a two-point conversion. They take the lead. And even with all that being said, the Chargers still had 40 seconds left on the clock to go down and win it, but they missed the field goal. With that juggernaut of a team that was just smoking everybody, I mean, they were so stacked, it was crazy. So I just looked up Marlon McCray, and things have not gone well for Marlon McCray
in the rest of his life.
Really?
No, it did not go well. Got arrested for domestic violence.
Oh, not good.
Crashing his truck into his wife, his ex-wife, a couple times.
Crashed into her car a couple times.
Well,
into her vehicle or her?
Yeah, her vehicle. Okay. A couple times.
A couple times.
Yes.
He didn't learn his lesson the first time.
No, but in one outing.
Take this.
Back it up and do it again.
Back it up. Take that.
Yeah. So you're right though.
So you're blaming it all on Troy Brown? Is that what you're doing?
No. He should. You ruined my life, Troy Brown.
But you're right. The Chargers always, and they talked about that in L.A. this weekend and in San Diego. They always seem to make that screw up. But if you go back and look at Phillip Rivers, he's the one that usually does it. He gets frustrated, and then you'll see it on his face. We got screwed. That was a bad call. I think he's more likely to screw up this game.
When history tells the story of Phillip Rivers, I mean, they should tell the story of what should have been for this guy, based on the team that he had, the coaches he had. Well, it doesn't matter. The point is that he's had a lot of skill. He's had a ton of opportunities. Talk about that team in '07, that '07 playoff game.
He will be the modern era Dan Marino.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
but at least Dan Marino went to a Super Bowl. He hasn't even gone to one yet.
Right, and I don't know if he will or not. Maybe this is his chance this year to go. But just, and he's not Dan Marino, but just the sense of, you know, like all the other quarterbacks you went with, was that class, right, with Roethlisberger and Manning.
Yeah.
Right? Roethlisberger's 1-1, Manning's 1-2, Eli. You know, and then all these other good quarterbacks. You know, even Matt Ryan got to a Super Bowl, whatever. We'll see what Andrew Luck does. Drew Brees has won a Super Bowl. Rodgers has won a Super Bowl. Then you got Phillip Rivers, who we all regard as probably a top 10, borderline top 5 quarterback his whole career.
Yeah.
You know, his whole career, every year. You know, never the MVP, but always, you know, his best years, he's probably like 3rd, 4th, 5th best quarterback in the league, maybe.
And then he screws up.
But he's always 7, 8 in that range.
But just when you're ready
quarterback.
Yeah, but just when you're ready to put him up into the top 3, 4, 5, he screws up, and you sit there and say, okay, it's Phillip Rivers. All right, to the phones. Let's find out where the confidence level is. I'm not sure it's that high, but I could be totally wrong. So let's go to the phones and find out. Here's Eric in Cumberland. What do you got, Eric?
The L.A. Chargers. Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking the call, guys. Hey, listen. Lou, I love you, brother, but you absolutely got to put history into a factor here. You don't prepare for Lamar Jackson like you do for Tom Brady. I think everything Tom Brady is and everything he's been is absolutely rent in space in Rivers' head. And I would say to you and Christian, have you never prepared to play a team who's been hot or historically, you know, a great team? Didn't that factor into anything when you knew you had to go up against them? Not like going against the Browns.
What, as far as
playing the Yankees?
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? And you know a team that's been dominant in their history, and that's got to play a factor into look where we have to go. And I mean, you always want to feel like you can win, but preparing for a team like New England on a platform, any platform in New England to go in and
All right, but we're going to go back on the postseason. We're going to say history back, what, in 2007. So who are players who were on in 2007 Chargers? You want to go on history. The coach isn't the same. The quarterback is. What, Gates? Is he the only one that's there? So everybody else is going to sit there and say, man, yeah, I know there's a lot of history here. History that they're not part of. History that Anthony Lynn doesn't really care about. Like, none of the – it's not like Houston has recent history. Each of the last 4 years, I think we've seen the history, however far you want to go back, with that kind of core group, similar group. This one, what, you want to go history with this team? I don't buy it.
Only with Rivers. That's it, really. Rivers has got a history. It's a bad history.
I don't know if you have to go back to 07. I just mean stack it all up in general. What they've always stood for, how strong they've always been. I don't know how that doesn't play a factor going in. Phillip Rivers is getting ready for the game of his life, and history has a lot to do with that.
See, I think you can look at the Chargers, and I think we can all say you know exactly what you're going to get as far as effort, how they're going to attack you, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and there's not a lot. You can look at their receivers. They're relatively healthy other than Gordon. I mean, you can sit there and go, all right, I think we all know what to expect.
That's a good effort.
On the Patriots side, I don't know if it's as clear as what's going on in L.A. I think there it's obvious, right? It's right up in your face, and you have a game to kind of use.
So you think there's no chance that the Patriots, who are well-rested, who started to play better football down the stretch. Granted,
really?
the opponents.
Well, they finished year 4-3. So yeah. They played better football down the stretch.
So yeah, well, they were starting to show.
Okay. I take the Miami game and I throw it out.
Oh, you throw all the losses off.
No, just the Miami game.
You can't do that.
I can.
You throw out the Pittsburgh.
You throw out the wins.
Wait, can we treat this like fifth grade
game changer?
You know, fifth grade where your teacher would say, "Hey, listen, I'm going to throw out your worst grade." Well, like, we all had bad
days.
Did
they finish strong because they beat Buffalo and they didn't look great in that game? They crushed the Jets. Is that why they finished strong? Because before they beat Buffalo, they had just lost to Pittsburgh and Miami. Is that finishing strong? Playing good football down the stretch because they beat the Jets who were already on the plane?
Okay, they showed that they were healthy, Lou, and they were playing a little bit better. And Tom Brady was starting to show a little bit more. But it would not shock me at all if the Chargers finally hit the wall somewhere around the early third quarter, that this has been far too much. Because you're asking them right now to do an awful lot. They didn't get the luck of the draw here. It's their own fault. They didn't get the number one seed. They could have been the number one seed. They didn't get it. It would not surprise me at all. And the Patriots didn't play last week. They got beaten up by the Ravens. We do this every year.
I mean, I don't understand. You asked me if would I be surprised if the Patriots win? No. I wouldn't be surprised.
Would you be surprised though if the Chargers finally hit the wall?
Because we need to build a wall.
Thank you. So
the Patriots win the game? No, I wouldn't be surprised.
But I think getting the week off last week is gigantic. And you see it every year when you look at this, and we do the same thing. We look at wild card teams and we say, everybody's all excited about Indianapolis right now. Okay? Let's see what they do in Kansas City. You probably picked them this week. A lot of people are. Let's see what they do in Kansas
City.
All right, so Kansas City won more games. Kansas City was a better team during the regular season. Kansas City didn't play last week. So you're not the victim of the last thing you've seen here. Last thing you saw was Indianapolis going in and blowing out Houston, right? A pretty good defensive team. I just think with New England right now, they had the week off last week. We're making the same mistake. We didn't see them play, so suddenly we're elevating the Chargers. And I think the Chargers have got an awful draw here, having to go back and forth across country. That is a factor. People can say, oh, they have a cushy jet. No, they have a rented they don't have what the Patriots have. They don't have
They have a nice plane.
They have a rented out. They have a rented out plane. That's what they're doing.
I know, but it's,
they're chartering.
They chartered it, but I told you, I saw it. It was nice. Everybody had like a updated high end first class little cubicle.
It's still time.
It looked like an egg.
It's still travel.
Like half an
egg. It's time travel. You were going back and forth.
But I would say you mentioned
that's a factor.
I don't know if they're going to wear out. I do think eventually they're going to run out of gas.
I do.
Whether they do it here or they do it in Kansas City, assuming Kansas City wins. But they're more likely to run out of gas in Kansas City.
Maybe.
Because they haven't played
because of
Patriots.
That offense.
Yeah,
yes.
It's like okay, it's the second game. Then, but they also lost to. They beat Kansas City late in the game, come from behind win.
Second time around.
Third
time around.
Yeah, third time. They play him again,
Steve's in Nantucket next up here on EEI. Hi, Steve.
Hey.
Hey. What's up?
I just wanted to say that I like feel like one of the luckiest football fans, if you love football, to be a Patriots fan. Because, I mean, they give you your money's worth every year.
Yep.
Okay.
And also, I was, as you guys were talking, I'm saying, what team do you think you're watching? I mean, the two times we were supposed to win the Super Bowl was against, you know, our unbeaten season and against Philly with a replacement quarterback. And this year is like every other year we've won. It's going up, you know, every Sunday or, you know, in the playoffs. And that's the way it is.
Yeah, but Steve, I don't think any of us are sitting here saying that we haven't enjoyed this run for 18 years.
Football!
But if you've seen the 18 years and you've looked at this season, do you go into the playoffs here with the same type of confidence that we've gone in the past?
On this team, well, not right. In the history of this organization,
correct.
This team.
Think about the past years you've had the confidence when they were unbeaten and they lost to the Giants.
Yeah.
And we had the confidence against Philadelphia going into the Super Bowl.
I mean,
every other year it was like, yeah, we may win, we may not win, but they seem to pull through.
See, I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't think you have that feeling. I don't think you've gone into the playoffs with the Patriots going, hey, they may not win. I think in the past, recently, you go into the playoffs and they're going to win.
Right.
They're going to get the AFC title game and they're going to win the AFC title game.
I think
they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Pats
and they're going to beat the Falcons.
By at least two touchdowns.
I mean, did you think they were going to lose to Philly last year?
No. And the Giants game, the undefeated season? No. Other than Steve Diassi, there wasn't anybody in New England thought they were going to lose that game. Right?
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't agree. And again, other than history, you can go on history all you want. You know, so that's fine what this organization is. We all know what this organization is. We all know that we're fortunate the last 19, 18 years to watch Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
I'm not sure you appreciate it enough.
This team here, I think if you're honest with yourself, looks different than years past.
Oh, the dreaded looks different line.
I'm scared now.
I feel like we said that week four. What's different? Nothing is different.
Yeah, but week four,
something different. No, nothing's different. We do this every single year. But that line, they look different, has carried through all the way to the end of the year.
They do.
Yeah,
all the way. What's different?
And your boy, Teddy Bruschi, agrees. Because he starts talking about DNA. You know, the other day when I asked him yesterday that question, he got a little confused. He just took it and just said, you know what? I don't want to answer your stupid question, Lou, because there's something I really want to talk about. And he talked about the DNA of this football team.
I want to go to the other side of the ball, okay? Any factors that can possibly end the season for the New England Patriots, I'll say this. If they continue to have mental errors, if they continue to have those penalties that take away gains of 30-plus yards to Gronkowski, big run by Michelle, holding penalties, illegal procedure penalties, those factors that have been in this New England Patriot DNA, if those are still there, those are season enders.
Yeah, this team's DNA. He didn't sit there and say, in the DNA of this organization over the years. He doesn't talk about history. See, Teddy talks about this team, and I agree with him. This, for whatever reason, and you could say it's small, it's little, it's this, it's that, whatever. It only popped up. It was just a fluky play. It was one play by Brady. It was just the penalties in one game. But I feel
it was in the DNA
of this year's football.
Yeah, but this team.
You guys got a little bitter brew today, huh?
Yeah.
This team, you know, as far as the mental mistakes, at one point in time, they were the least penalized team in the NFL. They didn't make any of these mental mistakes. This wasn't part of their DNA.
But Christian,
it happened in back-to-back games. That's why Teddy, just like he was last week, will be wrong.
Okay, maybe he'll be wrong, but that's the difference, though. So you're right. Overall, if you look at the larger sample, the numbers look pretty good. Except why did they lose in Pittsburgh? Because of all the penalties. Why did they lose in Miami?
Again,
not just
outlier.
For that 7 seconds, but there were a couple of other plays.
They
couldn't close that game out.
If I'm going to sit there and tell the story of this team, I would go uncharacteristically weird outcomes.
But that stuff doesn't.
And every single loss, I can attribute something that never happens or is just specific and oddly associated with that team.
Not only that, Lou, but it usually happens to the other teams because the Patriots are the one that baffled the other team. They're the ones that screw up with 7 seconds left.
I saw something online, too, talking about like over the years, how many teams, non-playoff teams, Bill Belichick has lost to per year. And it's usually one. And that's usually probably because it's in their division.
You know how many so far this year?
Five.
He's lost to what?
Five. five all their losses.
Oh, yeah, no playoff teams.
So what I mean? Five they're losses to non-playoff
playoff teams, right, and five.
So another uncharacteristic thing.
Totally
Patriots
different.
Take care of business.
Do we just
Patriots don't beat them? Themselves. Patriots go out and beat bad football teams. Another, just little ones, like just, you know, just a little characteristic of this. They all sort of add up to, as Teddy said, it's in this team's DNA. Something's different.
I can understand the first four or five games because we've seen that in the past. This offense had difficulty because you had no Edelman on top of that with the suspension. So those games, I didn't even get worked up, if you remember. But when you got to game 10, game 11, which week was that Tennessee game? Was that week 11?
11.
Whoa.
Different set of circumstances.
See, wait a minute. You don't see that.
Christian,
you don't see that. The final five, six games.
If the way they finished the season, and I'm sorry, I'm not 38-3 against the Jets. That doesn't count. But the way they finished, even last 4-3, the last seven, if they started the year off with some of those games where you sat there and said, mental mistakes, it was a fluky play, it was all in September. We've seen that. That happens. But then it bled into November. And we sat there and said, well, that's weird. Then they lost two games in December, which they haven't done since you played. In your first year. Mm. So you just, it was the end of the year stuff that you're saying, yeah, that doesn't seem right. That just doesn't seem right.
Well, I mean, to Teddy's point, as far as the DNA, you know, you can just, you know, put mental toughness, you know, winning on the road and just not being aware. Hey guys, okay. We should have learned our lesson after Jacksonville. They wanted us badly. We were on the road. Okay. We should have learned our lesson after Detroit. They had it out for us. They were 0-2. Matt Patricia, just like Josh McDaniels, go back and look through history. Mangini, those ex-coaches, when they play against Bill, like they put all their energy into it. You should have known better. Tennessee, listen, guys, you had the bye week sitting right there on your porch, right? You win that game and we're chilling.
So instead of it being an outlier, which you keep on referring to those games, it became a pattern.
Yeah.
Okay, I worry about.
And that's
the pattern. So this is a home game. I actually think they're going to win this game in a really tight game. But it's because they're playing at home. Because I do believe they'll be good against the run. They'll do some of those things. If they have to go next week to Kansas City, matter of fact, I would say this. And you tell me if I'm way off base on this one. If this team could ever win the Super Bowl this season, would it be the greatest Super Bowl of them all, with maybe the exception of 2001? Because that year, they came out of nowhere.
Well, as far
they
as
came
as
out of nowhere. No, but now you're asking me, like, greatest Super Bowl ever, and it's just like there's some emotional ones, right? Like, to me, the Seattle.
I'm talking from an accomplishment level.
Based on your personality.
Lou, if I ask you,
based on what you thought from that team going to the playoffs, yes.
That's what I mean. Yeah. If I were to ask you to
they should
right
not
now,
make it.
No question.
Is this team going to win the Super Bowl?
Hell
your
no.
Answer? Okay. No, no, no. Okay. Merloni Investments. Through most of the years, we looked at it, I think, from a more positive standpoint that we thought the team at least had a good chance.
Yeah.
With maybe the exception of 01. Okay. The first one. This year, if they win it, this would be out there.
The most surprising.
This would be your outlier if you're looking for an outlier.
Yeah.
All right, back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. You feeling good or are you feeling a little scared?
The Patriots' march to Atlanta starts right here as they get ready to do battle with the Chargers. React and talk about it right now. Now back to OMF on Sports Radio WEEI.
Everything we got. When no one is watching, we're still here. Preparing, working.
Stephon Gilmore with the INT.
Believing.
This time the Patriots get him.
We're out here today. We all want it. Let's go get it.
Because to get everything, it's going to take everything. So we're going to give everything.
Oh, I got chills.
Everything we got.
Oh, goosebumps.
I give a shout out for you.
So the Patriots have just released this on their Twitter account. Teddy's going to be the guy, isn't he? On Sunday, he's going to be the Ray Lewis.
Oh yeah, he's going to be
Ray Lewis.
He's
going to come out to the Ray Lewis dance. He's going to be the guy.
Is that what sports teams do? Right. So the Major League Baseball did something similar. Right. They had each team had their own little catchphrase. Do damage.
My top five is top five. Okay.
Hashtag everything you got.
Yeah, you sell shirts. It's a way of selling shirts.
No,
right?
I get it, but I mean, so who came up with it first?
Hashtag.
Hashtag everything. You know, they never asked me to do it. I should do that as Chuck from Boston.
That'd be good.
I should do it from Chuck from Boston.
Good. You'll hear from Chuck, by the way.
Everything
as he,
we got.
As he stocks San Diego radio. That'll be coming up in the next hour.
This one was a doozy.
So I've heard. We get back to the phone calls. Here's Anthony in the car. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, fellas. How you doing?
Great.
Listen, it's all about ground and pound. Double tight end. Devlin doesn't get enough credit. They're going to be come out heavy, and they're going to pound away, and I think eat the clock. And I don't have a lot of confidence in Philip Rivers and these guys coming back from behind. So I'm confident, but it's going to be ground and pound and hat to hat.
Well, if it's ground and pound,
put a hat on a hat.
Hit a man.
But if it's ground to pound, it may not be that they have to come back from much, right? Because you don't get big, huge leads when you do that.
Oh, you could.
Well, that's all right. And then they're multifaceted. They can switch it up and go spread. You know, I just think they're going to wear them out on the ground.
Okay.
First.
All right. So you're very confident.
Physical.
You're very confident, right, Anthony? Very confident.
15 degrees. Come on, man.
Okay. It's unbelievable.
Pats win this game by at least two touchdowns.
Sound like Wiggy now. Every single one of them.
I got a little Boston Sports Info.
Yes.
A tweet that I like. Yeah. There's some numbers. You want some more numbers?
I love numbers.
Numbers? I don't have a number to battle you with this time, so I'm just going to give you the
couple
floor.
Of above the spread numbers.
Oh,
ATS.
Okay, I like it.
I'll give you a couple of those for you.
I don't give a shit about numbers.
Philip Rivers and the Chargers are 3-11 in the last 14 road games as 3.5 points or more underdog.
Oh, 3-11?
3-11.
But I thought you
in
told
the last
us.
14 games is 3.5 point underdogs. That's straight up. However, 11-3 in those same games against the spread. That's amazing. How can you be 3-11 overall, but cover and go 11-3 against the spread?
Same thing that happened on Sunday. It's a 4.5. What did you set the line at today?
It's 4 right now.
Okay, 4. So I think they're going to
win. They lose, but they lose by 3 and cover.
I think the Patriots are going to win by 3.
And like I told someone on Twitter, I don't care who wins and loses. I just care who covers.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, that's so. Well, a true gambler only cares about whether he wins or loses.
But you live here.
I really care. He doesn't really have an affection for the team.
You live here in New England. You have an emotional attachment to the team.
I got an emotional attachment to my money.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so how about the show?
What about
being selfish? Don't you think it'll be a little bit more interesting around here if there's an AFC championship game next week? Or do you want to talk about the Revolution, the Bruins, and the Celtics?
Well, hey, you can always root for the perfect scenario. If that's the case, business-wise, sure. Do we get more if the Pats win? Do we talk more subjects? Yeah, absolutely.
Now, does one...
Okay, so they can win by one or two, maybe. The pocket's happy.
Is there one stat...
Professionally, maybe we're happy.
Is there one stat that kind of trumps, like, because all these gambling, all your M&M investment podcasts, it's all about stats and numbers. Because you never bet with your heart, right?
We call those trends.
Right, okay, because you never really bet with your heart. Like, a guy who bets with his heart is basically a loser, right?
Most likely.
Most of the time.
That's the public.
Right, okay, yeah.
We like to call them the public.
That's why the buildings are huge and all the pool parties are awesome there, right? Because people bet with their heart.
Yeah.
So is there one stat that if you go, whoo, I see this stat, and it's in favor of whatever team I want to bet with or for or against. Like, that trumps every other above the stat chart that you have?
No. I think the best stat of the weekend involves the Kansas City-Indianapolis game. Okay? And that would be now KC's up favored by what, 5.5? The one stat, did you know that since the merger,
I'm
writing this down.
Christian, write this down.
God.
Since 1970, Ordway, since the merger, that the Kansas City Chiefs at home against the spread are 0-9.
I can remember in 1987.
See,
0-9.
Don't you love this about these gambling people? They give you history.
Since 1970.
When it comes to the line, and that's how they determine where they're going with their bet.
But,
and yet, when we sit here and talk in a talk show and talk about history and talk about, Chargers 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, they say, that's history, pal.
That means
it's got nothing to do with it.
No.
It doesn't mean anything.
No, but these numbers are real.
Well, I just looked at Boston Sports Info numbers.
These numbers are real.
They're a little bit deceiving.
Some numbers, you got to believe in what you believe
in.
I'm not going all the way back. I mean, 2016 at home, lost. 2017 at home, lost. 2010, lost. So it's not like I'll go back to 71 if you want.
Yeah, but you want to go with the covered numbers. They're 1-2 for covering in 2018.
Let's
they're 1-2 in covering in 2017. Then you go back to 16 and 15. They cover every single game. They covered with that short spread 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times in a row. That's history. That's 3 years or older.
What was that right there? You just gave
the numbers you just talked about.
You just said they covered 1-2. What are you talking about?
But the last couple years, Lou, they have not covered.
The Chiefs are 1-6, 1-5 in the last six games, ATS.
I'm just looking up your what you just talked about. This tweet here.
Which one?
The tweet, the Boston Sports Info.
Oh, that's the Chargers.
Chargers, 3-11. That's 3-11 overall in the last 14 road games.
Now you're moving numbers.
Way too much info.
I'm not moving numbers.
I'm sitting here talking about Kansas City and Indianapolis, and in our argument, during our argument, you all of a sudden quietly bring up the Chargers stat again that I said 5 minutes ago. So how am I not confused?
Well, I just wanted to bring it up to you because it really is irrelevant, like the one you just brought up. So you're taking history from years ago, and you did the same thing 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Most of those numbers are from 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
This year and last year.
Mean nothing.
Right.
Hard.
Come on, it's about trends, Ordway. It's about trends.
I can hardly wait to hear his numbers that make you feel good about.
All the numbers I had last week worked. The dogs are 14-1. Take all the dogs this week. You won't lose.
Did Mutt pick all the dogs this week?
No, I don't know what the hell Mutt
is. Mutt is a dog.
Confused.
He was 0-4 last week.
We went opposite laws.
More like
though.
A puppy.
Boy, if he goes 0-4 again this week, you can pull the plug on that podcast.
Who's the dude from Goodfellas? Or no, it's not Goodfellas.
Mush.
Bronx Tale.
Mush.
The Bronx
Mush.
Tale, right? The
Mush.
Guy that they always put in the closet because every time he comes around, everybody loses. Or he's a cooler. He should be
the cooler.
Yeah, he's also a cooler, right? Yeah, you're the pit boss. Everybody's winning. You want everyone to start losing. Can we get Mud in here? He's sleeping.
No, wake him up. Put him in the bathroom. I don't want him looking at my money.
Let's get back to Patriots Nation. Here's Anthony and Mattapan. Anthony.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Big O and everybody?
How are you?
I tell you what, Mr. Big O, Mr. Fourier, and Mr. Maloney, I am not scared of the Chargers. And I will tell you this. The key for the Patriots this game, you watch out for Chris Hogan and James White. And hopefully those yellow flags will be negative. And hopefully we can get Walt Coleman again to do one more game before he retires so we can get a Tuck Rule call.
I like it.
Everything we got.
Yeah, I like Tuck Rules. Tuck Rules are fun.
We're going to start already with the flags.
I said they
so
should.
The Patriots are going to get screwed. The Patriots probably will not get screwed. It's a home game. As it works in the National Football League, they probably won't get screwed.
Patriot fans, like, the whole world thinks the refs are against them and for the Patriots.
Every city. Like,
every team. They're out to get us.
Yeah. But yet, the Patriot fans have convinced themselves that the refs are always out to get them.
Yeah.
Well, if you ask 31 organizations and fan bases, they would say, yeah, they all favored the Pats. They all want the Pats. They all want the Pats to win. Right? Am I wrong or
no? No,
they're
right.
Only here?
Yes, no.
No, it's the same in every city. Everybody thinks they're screwing your team. I think they get breaks here. I think the home teams do get breaks in the National Football League. Not like the NBA, but they get breaks.
There were two fouls by the defense.
Yeah, I don't buy into that. I don't.
You don't buy they get breaks?
No, I think a holding call, it's a holding call is a holding call. Right, I would say where each team gets screwed, and they've kind of softened up with this, is the hard hits. The hard hits, you hear the crowd going, ooh, and then sometimes you'll see a late flag. But otherwise, a holding is a holding.
Yeah, I disagree with you. Holding,
PI is PI.
No,
like late.
And a holding sometimes can be a holding call, and other times it could be a non-call.
Yeah, see, I don't buy into the hometown ref situation. I will say in most situations, they let guys play like red zone throws, like contested passes, like up in the air, Hail Mary passes. You never see a pass interference on a Hail Mary pass, but every single time they should be called an incidental contact, a holding, something like that. And the Patriots are the victims of that all the time. Go back and look at all the times the Patriots threw some sort of Hail Mary pass. Gronk was held, he was pushed, he was knocked downfield, but they didn't call anything.
All right, we're going to get.
There was a holding by the receiving team number 57. That penalty will be enforced from the previous spot.
Huh? Eh? We're going to give you our picks coming up in the next segment. We'll take more of yours at 617-779-7937. We're giving away another autographed ball next hour. Tom Brady and our buddy Chuck invades another sports talk show. This is a doozy. We've got that all coming up in the next hour.